having these memories. I see flashes. I think I had a life here.
And we're back. Welcome to another quick episode today of Mike, and Oscar. I am your co-host, Mike Blunt. This is co-host also Mike.
Also Mike. Big news this week, big trailer.
It's been a while. We haven't dipped our toe into the MCU in quite some time.
We had
a full-fledged review covering six episodes, reviewing the first 18 films. Then we had our big Infinity War. Then we had a big re-rank of the entire MCU. And then we kind of put it all away, put it on a shelf back in April. Yeah. And now we're kind of dusting off the books, much like Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi, the sacred texts.
Well, we analyzed the photos in Entertainment Weekly
a
couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was about 2 weeks ago, I think.
We put out so many episodes. Yes, the Captain Marvel pictures came out, and EW, and they were fascinating, and we broke those down. Now we got a full trailer this week.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't expect the trailer to come so hot on the heels of that drop, seeing Brie Larson in the Captain Marvel outfit for the first time, but we do have a full-fledged trailer. We're going to do a trailer breakdown much in the same vein that we did for the second Halloween trailer not too long ago, which also just came out a couple weeks ago. So we're going to start with a little cast and crew, just keep you up to date on who is starring in Captain Marvel. This movie is debuting in March of 2019. It is the single most important non-Avengers movie to the MCU, probably since Civil War. Mm-hmm. So that's if you've seen Infinity War, you know where we stand with all our favorite heroes,
right?
Even post Ant-Man and the Wasp, which came out after Infinity War.
That being said, we'll still try to avoid spoilers.
Yeah, we're not gonna spoil. And again, it's a preview, so this tough to spoil anything as is. So, Mike, who's in this?
So it's co-directed by Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, who've previously teamed up for Half Nelson's Sugar, and it's kind of a funny story. They began dating in film school, and they've been working together ever since. Nice,
like
sweet
us.
Story there. Gemma Chan, Brie Larson, McKenna Grace, Lee Pace, Ben Mendelsohn. This is all going to rhyme in meter. Samuel Jackson, Jude Law, Demon Hansu, who's been in everything.
Yes.
Annette Bening, Michael.
Oh, wow.
Colin Ford, Clark Grade, Chukwumodu, Robert Kaczynski, Rune Tempt, and Pete Plazek. That is the first page of the IMDb there. Standouts, of course, Samuel Jackson with the throwback machine there, the hot tub time machine.
Nick Fury is finally getting his own kind of picture. Trailer certainly was more of a Nick Fury expose than it was a Captain Marvel expose.
In Iron Man 2, was it? He basically showed up with Tony Stark and seemed to know everything.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of Iron Man 1, I guess he was in the bar.
The screen crush made note of that.
You think you're the only superhero in the world?
So that was really cool that now we get the origin story in many ways for Nick Fury's character.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, him and Black Widow, they've been around. Black Widow came later, but they've been around so long they haven't really gotten their own deep dive, so it's kind of nice to see this pay off.
Now, I just mentioned Hot Tub Time Machine. There's a reason for it. It's on my mind because Samuel Jackson has two eyes in this movie, Michael.
Yeah.
Crispin Glover, back in Hot Tub Time Machine, had two arms when they went through the hot tub.
That was such
a great
shtick.
He had one arm in the future at the prologue of the movie,
yes.
And then when they went through the hot tub, he has two arms.
Oh my God, this is it!
The whole movie is them watching Crispin Glover performing feats of strength with one arm and almost losing his arm.
Just
how many
waiting
times?
Waiting for his arm to come off.
It's a running gag. So is this movie going to be 2 hours of Samuel Jackson getting like poked in the eye?
Yes.
I hope so. I agree. I really hope so. But I guess we'll run down the trailer a little bit here, Mike.
Yeah, let's get into it. So we're starting with this big explosion. We have the typical Marvel overtones, those big sounds. Inception has really changed the game since it came out because every trailer now relies on the...
Yeah, this is some epic music. I'm really into it, even though, flash forward, the music strikes up the most. Cold cocks, old lady on the bus.
We'll get into that. Definitely the most memorable part for us.
What are we doing? I get it. Yes, I know. It's probably an alien, a schnardvark, or whatever you call it. But it's just a weird visual.
You know what would be funny if the alien was like not in hiding at all, just behind her, sitting on the opposite side? Like, why'd you just punch that lady? I've been right here.
Yeah, the person next to her changes like what's that?
It's just an old woman bleeding then.
Rebecca Romijn, a Mystique from
X-Men,
X-Men there. Yeah.
So we'll start at the top of the trailer. We do have this big explosion in space, and we see
she's dead, Captain Marvel. she's She died instantly.
You're an alien, and you punched her in the face, and she's old. We start with this big explosion. We see this crash landing. And how do you know Captain Marvel is taking place in the 80s? Well, that's because she crashes.
90s, right?
80s, 90s, whatever. Well, it's
a
not
better time and place.
Because she crashes through the ceiling of a Blockbuster. And for those kids of you listening who don't know what Blockbuster is, it used to be the go-to place for nerds like us on the weekends to go. It was a video rental store. I can't believe I have to explain this, but I think
let's reminisce, please.
Yeah, there's this big video rental store that you would go to. You'd have a membership card. You could rent movies for 2 days at a time. You could take them home, watch the VHS or DVD, return them. If it was a VHS, you had to rewind it before you returned it.
True.
And those places actually existed before. Before you spoiled brats had Netflix and Amazon Prime and all that stuff.
Though, I would say my golden age of Blockbuster frequenting came just after college when Netflix is out now and threatening their business model and taking stores down.
Yeah.
So they came up with a subscription service, Blockbuster did, basically where you can rent for, I think it was $20 a month, unlimited movies or something like that.
Go. Yeah, you were all over that.
Oh, I was there every day, Michael. Every day. And I think I might have bankrupted Blockbuster before I bankrupted MoviePass.
One of the most famous business faux pas is that Blockbuster could have purchased Netflix early in their inception for like $20 million, and they passed on it.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Anyway, epic music. Ben Mendelsohn is an old lady. / alien bugger.
Yeah, we've watched this trailer about 3 times in the lead up, and there's a scene, if you haven't seen it, there's a scene where Captain Marvel is on a transit bus, like an LA public transit bus, and she looks down at this old lady who's smiling.
Evil
up
smile.
At her.
It is an evil smile.
It's
though.
A smile.
It's just, well, I mean, there's cracks of the devil.
I mean,
the
it's
alien.
Not like you could see any alienness in her. So it's just this old lady, and the next scene is Captain Marvel punching this old woman.
Just like rearing
right
back
in the face. And we are such bad people. We watched this like 3 times just now in the lead up, and we laughed at that moment
every single time.
Every
time. It's hysterical.
It just makes us giggle. But yeah, so there is a lot of mysteriousness going on. We see interspersed cuts of Brie Larson not only being on Earth, but it looks like she's also part of this alien crew, as was the case in the comics. It looks like she's kind of broken off from this big evil alien.
Right.
I don't know, synopsis, organization, whatever.
So essentially, like, the strongest connection to another MCU property seems to be Guardians of the Galaxy. I know Samuel Jackson's through it all.
We need you.
But the Guardians of the Galaxy, like the Nova Corps, it feels like Guardians 1, right?
Yeah.
Where we're dealing with that whole planet with Glenn Close in charge. Right, John C. Reilly and his green wife or blue wife.
Glenn Close, I just read that she only took the job with Marvel so she can keep making indie films like The Wife, like passion projects.
Which I
like
saw last night.
She totally said it was just a money grab, which, respect to my queen.
Well, she was good. she conveyed that a planet dying's president trying to deal with that. I bought it. Yes, so we have this connection, Guardians of the Galaxy, and yet it is the most troubled franchise of the bunch for the MCU right now. James Gunn is out.
Batista is causing waves, whether rightfully or wrongfully, however you view him. But his loyalty is certainly with Mr. Gunn, who is not being brought back by the Disney company, who did direct the first 2 Guardians movies.
Right.
Was supposed to do the 3rd one before he had his falling out and his social media.
So he has old tweets that were kind of nasty, and they were trying to be funny and trying to be shock jock humor. And they were outright nasty and despicable.
Sure.
Written 10, 15 years ago. I don't know the full story, really. So the question is, it's just such a bad look that Disney's like, screw it.
So
it makes sense. But so what I'm asking is, like, everybody's been talking about Batista just saying, I'm not gonna do it anymore.
Don't change the script.
Would they ever have more leverage than now, the Guardians cast? Because they could easily say, you just based Captain Marvel, your newest franchise, on this. Obviously, we're your cast. Yes, you can make another move.
There's a glimpse of Ronan in this, who was the bad guy in Guardians 1. He's in this as well, in this trailer, so you can see him. He's going to play a big, big role.
They could play hardballs.
No, that's a great point. That is a really good point, because there is such an extreme tie-in. But I would argue, and we talked about this before hitting record, that Guardians, yes, it's very prominent and it's very obvious that this is a tie-in, but there's also enough here that ties Captain Marvel into other Marvel properties.
Okay.
That I think they could get away with, even if, like, let's say the extreme happens and Chris Pratt steps up and says, F it, I'm done. I think they could still dance around it. It wouldn't be a total success because how could you survive that, you know, without a blemish? But you do have the tie-in to not only Guardians, but you have the tie-in to something like Ant-Man, because there's a very... It doesn't outright suggest the quantum realm is a thing, but you can see the quantum realm
is a
thing.
The full mask, or when she's upside down, we don't quite know which one of those. But yeah, you mentioned... You were great in April's of your youth.
I don't know where this is
on
going.
On the Easter egg hunts, weren't you? It's a very little metaphor. You had to be good at that.
I was a brat. I actually one time asked the Easter Bunny to hide a game I was getting for Easter, and the fact that it wasn't in my basket the next morning, I just pouted. And the Easter Bunny, my mother, was like, "Hey, remember how you asked him to hide it? Why don't you go look for it?"
Okay, I was getting worried because I thought it was a Donnie Darko situation.
My sociopathic friend that only I can see. Yeah.
Good.
Another movie that kind of suggested to me that there's very similar crossovers is, okay, we have this Captain Marvel is an alien, clearly. I mean, she's obviously brought either had a past life on Earth or is brought from Earth or whatever, but she is part alien at least. Mm-hmm. And she kind of has the same physical manifestations as we saw
the
Thor.
Visuals, the bluish,
the lightning eyes, the eminence of some kind of power coming out of her palms at different point. Mm-hmm. The same type of powers as we saw Thor regain in Infinity War.
I wonder if it's connected to Ego in a way,
sure.
The Kurt Russell character in Guardians 2 at all. But yes, visually, it looks really cool. And those are some of the best shots in, well, Ragnarok, of course, but certainly in Infinity War when Thor's going ape.
And nobody does visual effects like Marvel. And that's why I was stunned. My mind was blown. There were three main criticisms I saw multiple people have on Twitter, which I guess if you're looking for criticisms on Twitter, you're going to find them anyway.
Sure.
So one of the ones was how this is just... Marvel needs to stop so much with the special effects and needs to have just basically a stripped down version of a character introduction. And that's why this trailer has been received so negatively. Which the first counter is this trailer has not been received negatively.
No.
That's ridiculous.
109 million views in like a day.
Yeah, I'm looking at the one from Marvel Entertainment on YouTube right now already has about 28 million alone. So never mind how many others.
So essentially this person is just sour grapes personified after the best popular film thing.
I guess, yeah. I don't know where this would come from, but I mean the one thing that you and I have ranted and raved about ad nauseum over and over about Marvel films throughout our 10-episode MCU mm-hmm. franchise is how amazing they are at not only practical effects, but especially computer-enhanced graphics and how they work them into these real-world situations and how they are just on another level.
Guardians 2 nominated for Best Visual Effects, which is a lot of the kind of thing we get here in a way. It's also a mix between this and, I guess, the first Thor and the one in the desert, because we're in the desert a little bit. But you get visuals on par with the best movies of the year in that world, in that Guardians
world.
And
isn't that why you go to Marvel movies? Because they are such masters?
Yes!
I don't understand. So that was one of the criticisms that just blew my mind. There were two others.
I don't want a superhero movie. I just want a Brie Larson origin story, please.
Can you have Room, but with Carol Danvers?
Here's the whole thing. I love that Marvel is being innovative with the origin story again.
Yeah.
It's great. She's only getting flashes of her past.
I think I have a life here.
Let's deal with that in momentary flashes. Let's deal with that with some great, you know, Top Gun... Give me Highway to the Danger Zone.
Top Gun is such an influence on this, too.
Yeah, give me Highway to the Danger Zone. Give me some great high fives.
Yep.
Give me some volleyball. And just make it a flashback here, a flashback there. Otherwise, she's on the road with Samuel L.
We can't do this alone.
And that's the story. I don't want the origin story of Carol Danvers. No thanks.
And the amnesia aspect, it's a relied upon trope. It's worked for origin stories before, but it's not one that Marvel has delved into yet.
We are sick of origin stories. Yeah. We've seen them 100,000 times. The Batman one too many. The Spider-Man one too many. Yeah. We're sick of origin stories as much as I would like. And that's probably one of the weaker parts of Wonder Woman. One of the weaker parts of Ant-Man when we watched for the MCU review there. So all these newer franchises popping up, let's be innovative with the origin story tropes, and that's what they seem to be doing here.
And it lets Marvel flex their muscles and approach it in a different way, too, instead of having to build all these creatures up, all these characters up from the ground up. I think it's a really, like you said, a really unique task.
Yeah,
take, it's great.
I'm a Marvel apologist for sure there. Mike, you had the second criticism?
Yeah, so the other two, there were two other criticisms that really just blew my hair back. Another criticism. We have too much going on with Infinity War and too many loose ends, too many dangling storylines. It's not the right time to introduce a new character for us to know.
I can totally relate to this one because I think underneath all of the criticism and the snarkiness is that they just really, really want to know what happens.
Well, here's my counter to that. This is what happens with Infinity War. This is the piece, and that's why I call it the most important non-Avengers MCU movie. Because I truly, and we go back to our Infinity War review when I was prognosticating this, I truly, truly believe that this movie is going to basically set up the fourth and what could be final for some of our favorite Avengers, right? I truly believe that Captain Marvel is going to have some kind of tie-in that's going to do the explaining for a lot of the events that we saw unfold in Infinity War without getting into spoilers.
So you're not from around here.
It's hard to explain.
For me as a story junkie, this is serialization to a T. You have this storyline that's fraught with cliffhangers, and now we pick up with other storylines, and we're just salivating for the big one to resolve itself. They're keeping us in suspense for years, Marvel is, and it's genius.
It's so genius.
It's genius, it's... and I get it, and I'm totally okay with it.
And by the way...
George R. R. Martin's kept us in suspense for 30 years, so I'm used to it. Too.
But why are we not giving Marvel the benefit of the doubt here that they're going to pull off a beautiful through line?
Yeah, I mean, we can read the
comics. They always do it.
We can also read the comics if we're really all that worried.
So final criticism
we
that I saw.
We don't read good, though.
So the final criticism I saw, this was a very niche one. I didn't see this one widespread, but I did think it's worthy of passing comment on. It's our first full look at the Captain Marvel trailer. It's our first full look at the Captain Marvel character in the MCU. Samuel Jackson certainly has more lines of dialogue in what is a Captain Marvel trailer than said character of Captain Marvel.
Truth be told, I was ready to hang it up till I met you today.
I've seen some people say how that's a sexist thing, a misogynist thing, etc., etc. Now, we carry the torch here a lot for feminists and femininity and how we think and hope men act towards that whole area of women empowerment.
It makes sense. I'm not going to come down hard on this one.
No, but I won't either.
I think there are clear storytelling reasons and franchise building reasons here. Number one.
Go ahead.
Her character is a mystery in this story.
I know a renegade soldier when I see one. Never occurred to me that one might come from above.
So if she is speaking too much, then she's potentially can give away the mystery in many, right?
And there's clearly a lot of turns that happen probably relatively early in this movie based on the trailer alone.
Right. Samuel Jackson is the connection to the rest of the series for us in this trailer for the most part.
Yeah, he's our conduit.
Plus Ronan. It's either him. Yeah, it's either him or Lee Pace. He's also the mentor character who oftentimes in these stories is a narrator, and it would make sense that he's a narrator for much of it. So the fact that he's our way in, that just makes too much sense. And then finally, Michael, the visuals are focused on her. Even if, I mean, we get Samuel Jackson, maybe 10% of the visuals, mostly in terms of what we're seeing, and in cinema is based on sight more than it is sound. That's theater. Essentially, we're seeing her, and we're seeing a visual journey of what she's about, which gives us clues, but again, you don't want to let us know exactly.
Yeah, there's no mistaking who the main character is, right? If you watch this, if you listen to it, it might be a different story. But my take on it is, as well, it's an interesting observation. I don't think it's a poor observation or a ridiculous one. It's interesting that you do.
They're right. I mean, we agree with what they're saying.
And we have had problems with this character already in Captain Marvel. When I did the Comic-Con trailer, I said ridiculous the first images of her being in a shower scene was.
Correct.
So
Disney just did Solo, a Star Wars story. They're not batting 1,000 these days.
It's worth noting, but my reservation on it would be that let's see where it goes. I mean, this is the first trailer. Obviously, it's her movie. So let's see them, you know, let's make sure that they fumble it before we accuse them of fumbling.
She has the powers at the end, and her face lights up like a Thor or like a you know, Ego there, and she's really just going off with the powers. Goosebumps on the back of my neck. So, I mean, the trailer works for me. Yep. I don't know about you.
No, with 1,000%. I couldn't be more excited like I am with... Marvel is just the master of manipulation, whether it's marketing through trailers and stuff like this or the actual product they end up putting on the silver screen. But there's no doubt. I just wanted to comment. I think it's an interesting criticism. I don't think it's necessarily wrong, but I just think it might be a little early. I don't think we should put the cart before the horse in this situation.
I just think there's clear reasons why, like I mentioned.
Yeah, I think you're probably hitting on something there. So
once in a while, it makes some sense.
So do we have any final words here we want to talk about this trailer, or do I just want to keep hitting the Inception button again?
It's coming out soon, right? It's coming out in March.
We're about 6 months away, if that.
I can't wait.
So we figure March is Captain Marvel, and then I think we're going right into Avengers 4, right? Isn't that how this is lining up?
We just had Ant-Man, Captain Marvel, and then Avengers 4. I think so.
And then that'll be the end of MCU Phase 4, I believe, which is amazing to think about if you think about where we've come from in 2009 when this nobody studio was presenting these wild ideas of having this generations-long cinematic universe building.
They have set the standard for cinematic universes, yes, Michael.
How much money do you think they need to get to before Kevin Feige actually has his bones replaced with real adamantium?
You probably could do it now, honestly. But you're right. Yeah, Untitled Avengers film after Captain Marvel, and then they got Spider-Man and Guardians.
All in 2019?
Spider-Man, July 5th, 2019. Guardians 3 is TBA.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah, Guardians, you imagine that one's going to be... might be pushed back a little bit.
Just a little bit, maybe.
Some issues going on. But yeah, guys, we want to know what your thoughts are on this Captain Marvel preview, this trailer. Needless to say, we are excited. We are very excited, as we have been for all Marvel movies, not named The Incredible Hulk, I think.
Yeah.
It's fair to say.
So we had other stuff planned for today, but we figured that let's get this out there. This trailer dropped on us, and we'll have a bunch more movie reviews for you next week. And October preview yet again.
Some Oscar Sprint profiles in the work. Yeah, we're hitting back to the old faithfuls. But we wanted to keep this a little light for you, a little something fun for the weekend, and get you guys, you seem to react well to the last one that we did with the Halloween trailer. So we wanted to try it again with another very famous property.
A priest movie about despair and existential nightmares doesn't work for your Saturdays.
I think they would just appreciate that it's a priest movie that's not about touching kids.
True. It's still a
not
little
that
heavy.
Happy.
It's a little heavy.
But yes,
Paul Schrader.
Without spoiling more, we will be doing an Oscar Sprint profile next week of First Reformed, and you will hear that early in the week next week. But we didn't want to send you into the weekend with that on your mind. So we decided to go the Captain Marvel route instead. But let us know. Did you see this trailer? Do you have any thoughts? How many times have you watched it? We want to know all that and more. Do you think we're way off base with anything that we've predicted or talked about here? You can reach out to us, Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MMN Oscar on the Twitter machine, MikeMikeAndOscar.com, at gmail.com, on Reddit. We are everywhere. Tune in, SoundCloud, Stitcher, I don't even know anymore. iTunes,
everywhere,
Google Play.
Just about you can get your podcast.
If you listen to a podcast and we're not in that database, could you let us know, seriously?
Yeah, no, we'll do it.
Yeah, I'll throw us up on there. So yeah, otherwise, Mike, any final words of wisdom here?
Get us those 6 degrees of MMO responses. George C. Scott to Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's been a fun little game we've been playing with you, and we're having fun figuring it out ourselves. We set ourselves these impossible projects.
And it's so crazy to me how much better at this everyone is than you and I.
I also suck at chess. And planning of my life in general. So yeah, there's a reason why I suck at this game. But yeah, I spend a lot of time on IMDb trying to come up with something. So it's fun.
Awesome, and we love seeing the creativity you guys come up with, especially when you go through different mediums. But yeah, guys, reality sucks. Keep watching movies, trailers, and getting ready for the Oscar sprint with us. And we will check you out next week. Have a good weekend.
Beware of old ladies on buses. See ya.
I'm not what you think I am.